If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
Hello, hello, and welcome back to Cribs of Corn Podcast. I am the great and powerful Mystery.
And I'm J Clone 604.
Bum, bum, bum. And you guys have been asking us, like, hundreds of emails about the Bigfoot Flap in Eastern Ohio. And as Ohio boys, you know, we're on the other side of Ohio, so it's still, like, three and a half hours from us. Ohio's just a big square. But we thought instead of us trying to research and break it down for you, we were just going to bring on the main guy for the whole flap.
Let's go to the source.
Yeah. So Jay, why don't you introduce our amazing guest?
All righty. Well, if anyone is familiar with the flap, I suppose, you are, if you're listening to this podcast, because, you're into Bigfoot and it was everywhere. At least last week it was everywhere. We seen it everywhere. We are joined today by the Bigfoot Society podcast host, Jeremiah Byron. Welcome, Jeremiah.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
It's going good. And I'd like to also, everyone, please go to, if you want to look up the full notes of the flap, go to BigfootSocietyPodcast.com, and you can see the full write-up of the flaps, or I guess experiences, all jotted down in a nice timeline fashion. You can see everything there on BigfootSocietyPodcast.com. And check out the Bigfoot Society podcast, please.
While you're there, buy a t-shirt, join his Patreon. Do it all.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh. Thanks, guys.
All the things.
That's really nice of you.
No, we've been friends for a long time, but you know, we don't get to talk nearly as much because you're probably 9 hours from us.
Oh, I would guess, yeah, because I'm out in central Iowa, so it's a bit of a drive, no doubt.
Oh, yeah, that's a rough drive.
An Iowa guy knows a lot more about Eastern Ohio than the Western Ohio people.
Well, true. Well, yeah, it's true. I mean, but
it's a whole different state when you get over there. Yes. Might as well be.
But it is nice seeing somebody we know that is able to, I guess that people are willing to send the reports in, then you're willing to publish them. Where, as in, you already know in this field where a lot of reports are just never, ever get reported or see the light of day.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They get locked away in some weird sighting prison, and, well, we'll leave that there.
I was going to say, don't say a name.
I'm not going to say it.
No, I'm not worried about you. I'm not worried about you. I'm worried about him.
I'm not saying no names. I'm just saying, like, I mean, even I'm not even pointing anyone out in particular. I just know there's a lot of
I get people have death threats.
People have enough experiences on their own where they don't share it at all.
Yeah.
Let alone report it to somebody. But it's nice having an outlet that receives reports that we can just go up and talk to or that's willing to just share it. Like, that's refreshing to me.
Yeah, absolutely. And I want to definitely make sure that credit is where credit is due for this, because if it hadn't been for the Bigfoot mapping project, this would not have all started, because that's where the original report was posted.
Everybody, download the Bigfoot Mapping Project app.
I think it's only a few bucks, a couple bucks.
Yeah, and it's a one-time purchase, I believe.
Yeah, as far as I understand.
I've never been charged again for it.
Mr. So. Jake Dressel is always telling me about it.
And Jake is the biggest promoter for that.
He is.
He's like, give me your phone. Give me your phone. Let me download that
for
you.
He'll download it for you. Give you a couple bucks. Here, I'll buy it, too.
I'll buy it for you.
He swiped his card on me, and I was like, whoa, buddy.
Whoa.
It's already had
it. It's where we draw the line.
Downloaded it six times.
Give me your hat now. But anyways.
But I shared a little story with Jeremiah before we got rock and rolling, and I'll share it again. Like I said earlier, we got a lot of emails about this, and it's just so much easier having you on because, like, you know, you're the forefront of it. And when this was starting to pop off, you know, for everybody, I can't remember. It was the local Fox affiliate, so probably Lima. And there you are. You're on TV. And I'm like, I know that guy. Like, it's crazy to have a Bigfoot podcaster coming on. And what we found out was national, you know, from you telling us, you know, you did the interview with the Fox affiliate Cleveland, right?
Right, yeah. So on the 9th, I think it was the 9th, I started doing all these Cleveland interviews, and then those started getting pushed out to their networks. And then, man, then it started showing up on the New York Post, and Stephen Colbert made a reference to it, and Rogan was talking about it. And thank goodness he didn't say my name or the podcast name, because I wouldn't have been able to, like, I can't imagine how much crazier that would have been. And then, I mean, there was even, I did an interview with the New York Times, and I don't know if that's going to be published, but I did talk to a reporter from the Times, which was wild. It was a wild experience.
That is, I mean, and amazing, but insane as far as, you know, a Bigfoot cryptid podcaster that now you're, you know, talking to the New York Post and Fox, and you're on Joe, like, well, you know, your stuff's being talked about on Joe Rogan and all right. That. It's crazy that it's been this maelstrom for you. And I'm very happy it was you, and you deserve it. And you don't have to tell numbers, but did you see a bump?
And I do want to preface that for your listeners, because I'm sure a few of them are like, oh, this guy really was working the system. No, guys, it was not like that. And we're going to go into the story later, and I'm going to just tell you all how it went down and how this is just what I've been doing for years, and mm-hmm. the algorithm went buckaroo bonsai. And so here's an example. The Facebook page for Bigfoot Society on the 10th got 1.8 million page views.
Woo!
And I saw that and I was like, that's not real.
That's no. too many
and
zeros.
I was like, no, that's real. Those are real numbers. Like, It was like internet. It got to India and the UK. Like, it was international.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah.
It's awesome though. But I think it's just a testament to being consistent, and I don't know, putting all your effort into it. I think that's what just happens naturally. It'll explode eventually. Like, it just will. I think well deserved.
Well, like you said, you've been doing this a long time.
Mm-hmm.
A long time. So it's. It's not like you're clout chasing or anything like that.
No, definitely. I mean,
it's
February of 2019. So pre-pandemic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's hard work that you put forward. And like you said, you caught the algorithm, and then it gets shared to here and it gets shared to there. And
that's,
it's in India.
And I wanted to say too, because we mentioned this on our show the other day.
Oh, we did give you another big shout out the week before.
Oh, thank you.
Well, people were asking
us. So that was it. The shout out from you guys probably was just like.
Yeah, I got you that little bump, right? That million view a day, whatever. I don't indefinitely. But mm-hmm. people have been at, you know, they ever since you report, all your reports started coming out, you know, they were asking us, sharing it on our page, asking us our opinion and whatnot. You know, is this real? Like, what's going on? And then that's when I first seen it, I seen. Your podcast attached, the Bigfoot Society podcast, like the orange symbol. I'm like, I know who that is. Clicked on the video, and for sure enough, it was you. You were the one sharing it. It wasn't somebody, I guess, sharing your reports. You're the guy. You're doing it. So I'm like, okay, I know who this is. Like, well, let's look at, see at his notes. And what I guess conclusion I pulled from it was just, this is just Bigfoot sightings. This is just what happens when people see them. You just happen to be the guy that people feel comfortable and trusting to report their sightings to. And then you're publishing it. I don't think it's anything out of out of the ordinary or crazy Bigfoot behavior, to say the least. I think it's just finally being reported, and then the mainstream actually took notice of it for once.
Yeah, I would agree. And also a big part of it, well, I mean, it's so many things together. It's one, the TikTok algorithm, and then the entire social media culture we live in, plus the news picking it up. But the main thing that people are really focusing on is like how it is. I mean, it's really like a flap of sightings in a way that hasn't been seen since like the, let's say, for example, the 1978, when you had all of that things going really across the nation. And I mean, even in Ohio, in Northeast Ohio, you had quite a bit of activity in that year. And so there's a few other things, and we'll probably talk about theories later on. And my the researcher I'm working with, Glenn Adkins, has probably the best theory of why this happened too. And it just blew my mind when I heard it. So
we'll stay tuned.
I was going to say.
Ooh.
What do you want to start, I guess, telling us about?
Yeah, totally.
The sightings and how they came in for you and everything.
let's get into it. So here we go. So it's important to point out that when I make social media posts for Bigfoot Society, I will usually look through online Bigfoot sighting databases. Woo, that was weird. Databases outside of what I get. And sometimes, like, I love the Bigfoot Mapping Project. The BFRO is another good one. The NAWAC website is good. So I just happened to see one that was super recent on the Bigfoot Mapping Project. And it was Manaway Center, Ohio. And there was an individual that had a sighting on the 6th. And the info from that report was that this individual was hiking in this area, saw a large bipedal cryptid, or a Bigfoot, which 9 foot tall, brown, standing around 120 yards from him, and started moving away fast. So there's that. So I was like, okay, so let's, usually I'll make a video, and then it's like maybe a few people will comment, and then life as usual, right? And so the next day I got someone hit me up on TikTok and was like, you know, it's weird. On the 7th, you know, same area, we had a sighting too. And so I was like, okay, this is weird. So 7th, same area, this individual was out walking around, I believe with his buddies. They were walking a trail near the edge of the woods. They hear heavy footsteps deeper in the trees. They're like, is it a deer? The steps were slow, spaced out, and much heavier. So they're like, it's got to be something. Then they notice movement about 50 yards away, something tall stepped between two trees, 7 to 8 feet tall, covered in dark brown hair. And then they hear a dark grunt before it steps back into the trees. And I'm like, okay. So I make a video about that. I'm like, you know, my thing is, you know, I'm collecting the reports, and then sometimes I make videos about them, right? So there's that. That's not really too weird yet, but it was the next day, the 9th, where things got weird. So, you know, I'm doing my podcast work. I checked the Bigfoot Mapping Project. I noticed, oh, there's a new sighting in Garrettsville, which is a few miles east of Manaway Center. And it's 10:20. So this has just happened recently. And I look at it, I was like, that's weird. Okay. Someone was walking through the woods. They saw what they say was an 8 foot tall black Sasquatch looking creature. They got scared. So I was like, okay, let's get the news out about this. And then that's when stuff started to get pretty intense. An hour. So actually it was 12:47 midday. An individual reached out. He was like, hey, I was just outside 11:47 AM. Me and my buddy, this is an anonymous guy. He's like, I gotta be anonymous. In Garrettsville, we had a sighting of something. And at this point, I'm like, okay, this is not normal. I've never had this happen in 7 years. Like, something is starting to happen. So I was like, can I have your phone number so I can call you to talk to you? So I get the guy on the phone. He's like, I got to be anonymous. He's emotional. He's wound up. He's like, yeah, we were on this trail, Headwaters Trail around Garrettsville. And so he tells about how for 10 to 15 seconds, they had an encounter. They saw what was, they said was a 10-foot tall, black-haired creature. And so I was able to ask him, because I had him on the phone. I was like, hey, did you notice anything weird when you're looking at this thing? And so he's like, well, it grunted at us, but when it grunted at us, it turned its head towards us, and it didn't, it was weird because it didn't move its neck. Like, it had to move like the shoulders too. And I was like, okay. And I was like, all right, here we go. And I was like, was there anything else weird, like about the way it was moving? Anything that you noticed? And he's like, well, it looked like it was almost on stilts, which is really weird the way. And he was like, so it was moving around. So there's that. Now, we're still on the 9th, putting the news out. And then now I'm starting to get things in my email, because at this point, like, I'm trying to keep things organized by making maps. And you can see the final map that's public on BigfootSocietyPodcast.com. So I have a map out there with my email on it. Like, contact me. The algorithm's starting to kick in. And then, so this individual reaches out. This is an hour. So it happened at 6 p.m. An hour later, they reach out to me on the 9th. And so this female individual, but and her mother was in her house in Windham, was looking outside the window as she usually does, and she sees what she reports as a 6-foot tall brown creature walk out of the wood line, her neighbor's wood line, and then walk across and go back into the woods. The funny thing is that she's a skeptic. She doesn't believe in Bigfoot. And then she's like, I know what I saw, but I don't know what I saw. Like, it's messing with her head, right? And mm-hmm. So the day before, and I'll put this footnote in real quick because it's important. A gentleman named Glenn Adkins, who's a local researcher, reached out to me and just sent a simple email. And he's like, hey, I'm Glenn Adkins. I'm a local Bigfoot researcher. If you need help, just talk to me. And so I contacted him immediately because I recognized the name. And I was like, man, at this point, I got to have people start to check it out, see what's going on, do a follow-up, because something weird is happening here, right? This isn't normal. So when I get the Windham report, I'm able to contact Glenn minutes after I talked to this individual, and he was headed to Headwaters with his team, but I was like, no, go to Windham. And so he's like, and like, they go over to Windham, check things out. They're able to interview the witness face-to-face. So we got that. Then I'm going to go through this chronologically, because mm-hmm. a few days later, I get another report on the 9th, and this is over in Streetsboro, which is further west a bit. There was this lady, anonymous lady, and her daughter driving down the road from Streetsboro to Hudson. What they say is that they're driving down the road by Tinker's Creek. They see what looks like a 6.5-foot tall brown Sasquatch walking down pretty much their lane of traffic towards them. They have to swerve out of the way. The daughter's like, pretty much I could have put my arm out the window and hit it as we went by. The weirdest thing they said is, she was like, I looked at its face. It almost had a blurry face. And she was like, it's the weirdest thing that I've ever seen. And that's a new one for me too.
Yeah.
She said it also had a weird way of walking, almost like it was on stilts. So I thought that was weird too. Now, if you look at the map, all these so far, they're all moving east. And then, as we'll see next, the next day on the 10th, so we're on March 10th, they start to go southeast. So now we're in Newton Township. This gentleman sends me a quick email in the morning, and I'm just looking at my email like crazy. And so, because there's a lot of like AI generated stuff and old photos, but I'm able to do like reverse image search on Google. And so I'm like weeding out the stuff that's fake pretty quick, thankfully. And so this guy, I'm like, this sounds like I should follow it up. So I get his phone number, and then he tells me how 4 a.m. he's got a German Shepherd. He goes to the door to bring the Shepherd outside, German Shepherd outside. The door opens. The German Shepherd freaks out, lunges towards the wood line. The guy looks out there and he's like, there was something that was a tall, shadowy, dark figure. This guy is like shook up emotionally. He's like, I got to stay anonymous. I don't want anything about my name to get out, like very super adamant in a way that I've only heard from like face-to-face Oregon witnesses, like really intense. And so he's like, yeah, I've got bear on my property, but I don't have what I saw back there was like 9 to 10 feet tall. He was like, it was extremely massive. He was able to get the dog in eventually. And he said, once the dog was inside, it just wouldn't stop shaking. And it was just an emotion, like it was a wreck, right? And it had never acted like that. So the last public one was the same day, and this was a anonymous individual at Lake Milton, which is further south. Yeah, and so what we've got going on here is another, let's say, older lady looking out the window of her house. She notices that there is a 7-foot-tall, rust-colored or brownish-red-colored creature that is about 200 feet away from her house. She's looking through the window. It was going towards her pond, went under a tree and the underbrush, and then disappeared into the woods. And I was like, did it just vanish or did it disappear into the woods? And so she's like, it did not vanish. It just, I couldn't see it as it went into the woods. And I was like, okay, cool. She was like, it didn't seem like no deer. She's very adamant that it wasn't a deer. And I asked, I was like, how do you know this wasn't a deer or a bear? And she was like, one, it's because of the color. But the main thing was like, it had big, fat, round arms and it was extremely muscular. And like, she could tell that. She was very, I asked, hey, have you gone out and checked? And she's like, man, I've been too busy. I haven't been able to go out. So, that's the last public one. At this time, Glenn and I came up with the same realization, which is Glenn's trying to check out these areas. And if public information is being put out, these areas are just getting slammed. And at this point, we've got Bigfoot researchers from all over the U.S. now in this small part of Ohio. And so I'm like, okay, Glenn, here's what we do. And he's like, yeah, I've got the same idea. So if something passes the sniff test and then I get a phone number and I contact them and then it's like, yeah, it sounds good. And then I ask, hey, would you talk to my local researcher? And they're like, yes. Then I move it on to Glenn. And so Glenn is a great individual because he was a 10-year protege of Robert W. Morgan, which is, if you know Bigfoot, if you're a Bigfoot nerd, you know how cool that is. And also he has, he's a retired law enforcement individual among many other things. So this guy knows how to do an investigation and he's the perfect guy for the job. And so we may not be hearing more things publicly at this time, but there are things that Glenn is looking into that are very interesting. I would say the reports at this point have stopped coming in, but Glenn is still investigating stuff that came in after the 10th. So that's pretty much the story as it lays right now, guys.
I got a lot of notes, and I know you got a lot of notes.
Me too. And I'm just going to, since you just said it right there, right at the end there, I guess as a, because we're just, armchair researchers, us, Justin and I.
We don't leave this room.
We're not boots on the ground researchers. We like hearing the stories and we like talking about them. We like sharing our opinions from a biologist standpoint and a bowling alley mechanic standpoint, but when you were reporting, sharing your reports online, I seen like a divide within the, within the Bigfoot community. It was just like kind of people were saying, well, I don't know. It just seemed there was a positive and negative. I seen where it was good. It was all out there. And then I seen the exact opposite where they're like, why is he sharing all this out there? Because now it's just ruining any investigation going on. And I'm just thinking in my head, I'm getting a little upset or emotional, but I guess I just see it where people, I don't understand why it isn't a good thing to show people and tell people like This is real. This stuff that we all talk about, it's not just...
It's happening right now.
It's happening right now in real time. This is... It's a real thing. And in order for the public to understand, it's not just like a made-up fairy tale. Like, we're only, you know, a small portion of 1% of 1% or people are out there actually looking for it. You know, this is a great thing for the mainstream to realize, you know, this is... a real phenomenon. We're not just all in here telling stories and, you know, just enjoying that with it. And so I don't know, where do you draw the line about sharing reports and being a boots on the ground investigative researcher and just keeping the information within those people? Because I think both are great and both are problematic.
Yeah. And I mean, it is such a really, it's a really good discussion that's going on right now. So because it's this... This situation is almost in a way different than how I usually view things with my podcast, which is when I'm looking at things on the podcast and I'm, you know, interviewing someone for the show, you know, I'm doing that so I can help individuals work through, like, if they have trauma and, you know, getting their story out to other people so they can realize, hey, other people have, someone else has experienced what I've experienced and they can work through their stuff. And there's a lot of really interesting discussion, and I'm not getting involved with it just because, I mean, there's just some really intense discussions right now, and I can get the point. But I think that, I'm trying to think of how even to say this.
It's tough.
Well, I'll say this for you.
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead.
I think you did everything right.
Mm-hmm.
I know anything in the Bigfoot community is going to be split.
Always.
Absolutely. I don't care if everybody could do everything right, but people for years have complained about the lockbox sighting, like, places, or, you know, it gets locked away for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I think you did fine, because this created, like Jay was saying, a national buzz.
It was intense, guys.
But
like a circus.
But for all the people, like Jay was saying, that maybe are fence riders or maybe seen one. Like, I do have comments about that. It makes him, first off, it's going to make a lot more people from all around, like you already seen, come forward. Where
I've seen that. Yep.
Yeah, it's because, okay, I'm not crazy. 18 people seen one in Northeast Ohio, or six, but, you know, and they're talking about it on Fox and Joe Rogan and all these places.
Stephen Colbert.
Yeah.
So
the important ones, you know,
I think as far as research boots on the ground, once again, I did endangered species surveys. That's what I did for a living.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Sasquatch, the flesh and blood Sasquatch, is always going to be an extremely hard challenge for surveying and research as far as that, because they're so intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
And I have plenty of friends that work with big cats. Arguably you can say is the most intelligent endangered species that we're dealing with, that actively are hiding from us, besides, you know, the more cryptozoological animals. They'll be hidden. You have a cat with a collar, a radio collar on it, 30 feet from you. You know where it is, and you still can't find it. So,
wow,
having Bigfoot researchers go out there, I don't think it ruined the scene. I just don't, because there've been hundreds of people looking for thousands of years at this point.
I was going to say that, yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So let them go out and look. I don't think it ruins anything. It's not like a missing kid search.
Right, exactly. Because I was going to say the exact same thing as, we've had Bigfoot researchers, let's just say for 100 years now at least.
Like,
at least. Sure. I mean, they've been there longer. I mean, people knew about it longer, well before that. But let's just say the hardcore modern researchers as we know today has been around at least that long, and we don't got nothing still.
For Bigfoot,
Not yet. So why not? Why not get more people involved? Why not open it up a little bit instead of keeping it so lock and key so we can investigate it? You know, how about there's other people out there that can investigate things as well. It doesn't have to be a their local expert that has to be the only one that's allowed to see anything. You know what I mean?
And we've met Glenn. I was looking at pictures of him.
His name sounded very familiar.
I think we met him maybe with
B. He's a great guy. Mm-hmm. He's so cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think we met him at Hocking Hills.
Which one? The first?
The Bigfoot Festival.
Okay, the big one.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, yeah, so just in my humble opinion, I think you did right. I think you did good.
Same.
And me and Jay talked about this before. We've seen praise and attack of how things were handled. And I think you did great,
mm-hmm.
if that matters at all.
Thank you. Let's leave it at that. I mean, yep.
You don't have to give an opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just doing the same thing I've done for years. So, you know, I'm just going to stick with that.
Yeah.
And just in the Bigfoot community, no matter what way you do it, somebody's going to
raise a stink.
The greasy wheel or what is, not the greasy wheel, the squeaky wheels are the ones that you hear. Well, I don't know what I'm saying.
No, that's the wrong saying for that. But
it might be.
Where's Clarice?
That's like the opposite of what you're the one you're going for.
Do you want to do one of your notes or do you want
to? Actually, I did have a question for the March 6th sighting, the one at midday. You said the sighting was by MTCR member. What is that?
Isn't that the military?
No. Well, so that's a good question. So
I looked it up as something like missile. I didn't know if that was actually it or not, though.
From what I know, the individual has some kind of cryptid research organization in Manaway,
and that's what that is.
Oh,
yeah, and
okay.
That one I was not able to investigate really thoroughly. Let's just say, it was a thing where you know, it's one of the BMP ones too.
Gotcha. So. Well, that's what I thought. It was some kind of cryptid research, but I couldn't find it in the old almighty Google, but it kept bringing up some missile.
Did you think it was our buddy?
Training? No, I didn't know what it was. I just thought it was really weird. So I just figured I'd ask you it. I'm like, all right.
Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah. Yeah.
So to the woman. Okay. You took better notes than I did. You always do. to the woman that was having trouble
reconciling.
Thank you. Reconciling with seeing Bigfoot. I'll put this out there, and I shared this on Jeremiah's show years ago now. When I seen my Bigfoot, I still didn't believe in Bigfoot for 3 more years. And I seen one. Mm-hmm. And it just in my head the whole time, it's like they don't exist. I don't know what I saw. But it wasn't, they don't exist. What did I see? I don't know. And then shows like Finding Bigfoot, Mountain Monsters, I always praise those kind of things because those, at least for my part of Ohio, like, it was the only kind of influence we had for a long time of anything Bigfoot, like, publicly. I know Eastern Ohio, I mean, you can go to Walmart at Logan and they got an 18-foot tall mural of Bigfoot painted on it and stuff like that.
Oh, sweet.
In Western Ohio, we just until recently, relatively last, you know, 10 years, I'd say, it really wasn't nothing. Like, you didn't see Bigfoot cutouts. You didn't see...
I mean, it was just sprinkled.
Rare. I mean, like, 10 years ago?
Like,
rare.
Rare, yeah. Sprinkled in the middle of nowhere, driving down back road, you'd see one every now and then.
So I just wanted to say that lady reminded me a lot of, like, when I see one. You can see one of these things and still walk away being like, I don't know what I saw.
Mm-hmm.
Like, leave me alone. Like, because your brain is trying to defend itself. Of shock. And we talk a lot about how the brain lies to you and how the brain will do all these things to protect itself from trauma. And that would be,
it really does.
And that can be emotional trauma, you know, with a shifting of worldviews can be very traumatic to your psyche. So yeah. All right. There's mine.
No, my turn again.
Yep.
Okay.
mine are a little out of order, but
I had a, on the March 9th sighting where they said they turn and, you know, the whole torso to look back at the guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that just gave me Patty from Patterson Gimlin film, like, vibes. Just that whole turn.
It did. Yeah. That, like, stiff. That was the stiff neck one?
Yeah, the stiff neck.
It didn't move. It just turned the shoulders.
Turned the torso to look back at him. So I thought of that. But then, so I started looking at all of them, and I wrote down just kind of like the, what do you say? The bookmark kind of
like the cliff notes,
but like the main sightings, when you, if you like could compile all the Bigfoot sightings together, you know, you always get like, not always, but you can boil it down to like
there's certain averages.
Yeah. So I wrote down like the rhythmic footsteps, you know, the person, one person heard and what they felt or saw, the vibrating grunt, and then followed up by the forest silence. You know, that's a very common Bigfoot.
It really is. Yeah.
I mean, that's common with a lot of large predators too.
We talk about
that a lot.
But I'm just,
which, I mean, that's to me, I guess, saying something real.
Right.
It, you know, that you can kind of look at that in nature as other breaking, things.
Going down all the sightings with musky odor was reported by another one. And then, like you said, the impossibly long strides. We've heard that tons of times. I mean, a lot of people that had sightings or...
And Greg.
Craig, yeah, that shared their sightings with us, shared a lot of the same kind of details with these separate results. So when you're reviewing, reports coming into you, how do you determine, you know, when to take one, I guess, how does it pass your sniff test? Because
yes,
because we know,
good question.
Should we
know plenty of people,
it?
Huh?
Oh,
oops. Sorry. Yeah. We had a break for a second, but
is he back?
Can
you hear us?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm back.
But how do you determine, you know,
what I was going to say, should he tell us though, if he's still actively doing this stuff?
I guess I didn't mean not just from this.
I think
flap.
I can because it's, yeah. And so the main reason, guys, or the main thing was that, so I was getting hundreds and it was like a brand new thing. I'd never really dealt with it before on the podcast, but you could blatantly tell that people were using like a AI, like ChatGPT, and just like give me a really detailed Bigfoot report. Mm-hmm. And there were like M dashes everywhere. And it's like, Bigfoot did this, not this. Or like, you know what I mean? Like
how
it's got
that way of talking. And I was like, oh, and I saw it over and over and over. And I was like, oh, there's a lot of garbage coming in right now. Yeah.
So it's mostly just like a gut feeling.
Yeah, you kind of...
Been doing it long enough.
Yeah, you've seen enough. And that's really the most I think I want to get into it. As what you know, you made a good point is you don't want to, I guess, give it all away. But the main thing was like, if you see something that's made by ChatGPT, you can see it pretty good.
Yes.
Have a good day. You can
recognize it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the only email reply.
Right, yeah.
Right.
I really want to talk about the blurry face.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Which encounter was that? I didn't take good notes.
So that's the Streetsboro one.
Okay.
On let me bring up my.
We have a listener in Streetsboro.
Ooh, all right.
Monday, March 9th, around 8 p.m. The cool thing is that I was able to set up an interview that hasn't come out yet with an individual that lives in the same area. And he shared with me his sightings and experiences that happened also in Manaway in Streetsboro, but closer to the year 2000. And so he was able to verify that, this same Tinker's Creek area, he's also experienced some weird stuff over there as well. So more to come on the podcast there. But yeah, man, I'm not sure what to think about that whole, like, here's some more details about that. Actually, this does get even weirder now that I think about it. So they reported that it looked like it had a blurred face, no eyes that they could see. It was all like brown hair around the face, but the facial hair was lighter than the rest of it. And the facial features were really not spread out. So that's like that's some stuff that I don't hear a lot. Like that's pretty unique stuff there.
You know, reminds me of another story that I have written down.
Okay. But, so yeah, I am, as you said earlier, you know, there's a lot of data in this, and as I decompress from this and get more time back into my day, I am pretty much making sure that the final report is on Bigfoot Society podcast. I think it's under the blog section, and that's where like the final map is, and I need to make sure that everything is there for future people to reference. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
You're doing your due diligence.
Exactly. Good way to put it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have one or you want me to go again?
I mean, I'm just curious about what they freaking saw when the blurry phase. I don't know.
So that almost makes me think of, do you remember when we did Momo?
Maybe.
Missouri Monster.
Yeah. But what specifically?
Okay, this whole case, now, unless I'm getting it mixed up with Big Muddy, but it reminded me a lot of Momo after he started talking, where there was the two different sizes, like two different colors being seen. The big white one didn't have a face.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
It just had like little like hair over its face.
Like Cousin It.
Yeah. And it was tall but lanky. Like it wasn't like the big filled out big. The other one was, it was shorter though. It was like 6 or 7 feet tall, but it was built like a normal big or the average Bigfoot.
Mm-hmm.
And then the old, or what we talked about in our episode, the old one was this tall, lanky one.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of compared it to why there were so many sightings and so much weirdness happening was it was almost like a grandpa trying to wrangle his grandkid. And because they were seen together in some spots, and then they were seen one after the other. And when they came out of that abandoned house's basement together.
Mm.
We did this a while ago. Do you remember any of this?
Vaguely, like, yeah.
I'm pretty sure it's Momo.
You're like...
I think it's Momo, yeah.
But when you started talking about this, that's just like the littler one and the bigger one. And I'm not saying it's exactly the same by any means.
Mm-hmm.
But it just like, you said it earlier, like this is the first time we're documenting one of these big flaps like this since the 70s. And was Momo the 60s or the 70s?
Oh gosh.
I think early 70s.
I don't know.
But yeah, it's
I don't know.
But yeah, it really like a really short cluster because I think Momo was only like 4, maybe even 5 days and had all those sightings.
72.
I was right on it.
He was right on it.
Yep. Where it was like, you know, just this short range, ton of sightings, at least 2 different Sasquatch being seen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and some like the one lady was one. And then 15 minutes later, the other one came out of the river right after it.
Mm.
And she thought, like, you know, so just as weird. I don't know. It just reminded me a lot of Momo. Just those.
That's really cool. Yeah. No one's made that connection yet. That's pretty cool, man.
But, I mean, yeah, I only remember chunks of it. But,
I mean, if it's.
It's really interesting.
Or, I guess, similar sightings, you know, it's something to take note of, I guess.
Now. Everybody, there was only one, was there only ever one creature in this whole flap seen at one time, right? Different,
yes,
different sizes, that, but
that
only
is a
one
solid question. Yeah, they just one at any given time, but mm-hmm. they are reported as having different colors and different heights.
Right, but no one ever seen actually two at once.
No, that I can't imagine, man. If that had happened, that area would have just
exploded,
absolutely wild. It was at the tipping point, and that was part of. I was like, man, if like it was getting so intense, and I was hearing like, you know, you hear those stories about people driving around in trucks. Like I was starting to hear those stories of like, all right, we're driving around in trucks and looking for Bigfoot, and yeah.
The Grafton Monster did nothing to nobody, and the exact same thing happened.
Yeah.
For anybody, listen to a Grafton Monster episode's only like 40 minutes long because it was seen twice, and the newspaper guy that seen it regretted it because there was 400 people out there with shotguns the next day chasing this thing down, trying to blow it away. It did.
My goodness.
It did nothing.
That's just human nature, though.
Yeah, they're like, a big really hulking is. Beast.
Might be able to eat it.
That whistles?
Ooh.
Death.
Even better, yeah.
It was Van Meter Visitor, too. That happened here.
Yep.
Posse time.
I mean, it's just
which
like,
I'm not saying should happen. I want to clear that for just because I'm sure people will hear that weird. I'm not saying that should happen ever, so.
No, I mean,
unless it's killing people or.
Yeah, unless it's actual beast.
Like, I guess. The only one I can really think of in modern quote-unquote times was maybe some of the folk stuff when it was getting kind of wild. Like, actually, like, into windows and barns and, like, knocking people. Like, that one, we've talked about that, though. I always thought it had rabies.
Or, oh, yeah, yeah.
With it was starting to get, like...
Or if, like, a Portlock incident happened in, like...
Portlock, I mean...
Oh, yeah, and, Portlock, I mean, or Hobnubby.
People were getting... Oh, yeah, the Siege of Hinobia or not...
Or, Hinobia. That was in Oklahoma.
Hobnubby.
Oh, Hobnubby. Okay.
You got to say it right, because they really...
Is that Oklahoma? That.
It's Oklahoma. Uh-oh, Southeast Oklahoma, yeah.
Oh, we've said it wrong many a time.
Oh, yeah. Hobnubby?
That's why they never answered the email.
Ah. They were sour.
Yeah, because we tried to vend at the festival, and they never responded.
Well, that explains it.
Yeah.
We weren't ready for it, is what that means.
Like, say it right.
Yeah. Next.
I even spelled it wrong in the email, probably. But no, I mean, it really is like one of the 60s and 70s like flaps in modern day, which is amazing, which is awesome. I have three more notes. Do you want to go?
Go ahead.
Okay. First one, dog shaking after it came in. Did that remind you of anything?
I'm sure, yeah. A lot of stories.
Well, mine was Sonny.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Sure.
Where he was paralyzed, this big, you know, powerful, and he was just sitting there shaking on the ground. Clarice was there.
Right. The dog that pooped on the floor last
interview. The dog that pooped on the floor for Jeremiah last time.
It's a callback to our last episode, guys.
Yeah.
Go check
Clarice
it out.
Was there for the Bigfoot.
She's the through line.
She just died.
Yep. And then all these flaps happened.
It's her ghost.
Oh, wait. She died like 2 years ago.
Was
it last year?
Yeah, it was last year.
Oh, okay. Really?
Yeah, because she died when we were going ice fishing.
Feels longer. Okay. Sad.
The stilt walking. Could you explain that again on that one sighting?
Yeah. So, and man, that's where I wish I could have been like there.
Yeah.
Talking to the witness and like, can you try to do it? And so I've thought of that a lot, and I'm thinking maybe what they were trying to say is it looked like how someone is on stilts, like they're tall and maybe they're leaning forward. I don't know. It's such a weird thing to describe like that. And I've heard a lot of over 1,000 reports, and I've never heard that used. It's so weird, man.
It almost made me think of stiff legs.
Yeah.
Or, okay. I mean, that's just when you said it, that's what made me think of it. You know, when you see somebody like wearing pants with stilts,
that or
their leg doesn't move, you know,
or bends,
they have that weird stride.
It has a weird bend because it's not where, even if they're stretched out, like the knees should proportionally be.
But like, I mean, Jeremiah is probably right where it's that, it could be that lean too of just that like four.
Or it's just what we think of when we see something tall walking on 2 feet. It's just
any
guy, that's just guy on stilts. It's what it looks like.
Yep.
An Ohio giant.
Be. Yeah.
It was TJ.
The Ohio Giant.
The Ohio Giant.
TJ, are you listening to this? Was this you?
He's walking back home from Cleveland.
It could be.
Oh.
And then I've done a fish survey on Lake Milton.
Oh, was that for your notes?
Yeah,
oh,
that's nice. One of my notes. I've actually been to Lake Milton. When he said it, I had to look it up. And yeah, I believe we got sand darters in one of the headwaters there.
Wow. Maybe that's what he was after, the sand darters.
Endangered.
See?
Could have been. Yeah.
I will tell you, though. Because I do want to get into theories, and I'm sure I'm really excited for yours. But from the Lake Milton survey and that headwater survey, there is some of the cleanest water in Ohio is in that area.
Actually, that is important.
Some of the cleanest springs and cleanest headwaters.
Well, that just brings some new theories to mind.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Because we've done like talks about. Like, so, like, when we do some of the Sasquatch stuff for, like, Hocking Hills, for example, we did this the first year.
Mm-hmm.
Talked about, basically, when we tackle Bigfoot, we get rid of the word Bigfoot and just use large mammal. And, because I've done plenty of surveys for large mammals, elk and bear and everything like that. And if you just, like, your map and everything like that, the, you know, people that have not had the side of the paranormal or the supernatural or the cryptozoological, you know, where they just don't have that kind of baseline interaction with that part of the world. And they see a map that says Bigfoot, you know, everybody, 8 Bigfoot sightings here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're like, oh, everybody's a crack or drunk or, you know, I hate the drunk thing. I hate that when people say that, because the Hopkinsville Goblin thing, one of my daughters actually middle name is after that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's cool.
Because,
but you like when people are on crack. That's
but no,
that one you're okay with.
Because she was a God-fearing woman. Now you got me on it. Oh, man. She was a God-fearing woman that wouldn't even allow swearing in her house, let alone drinking.
What a and drunk.
They immediately wrote him as they were all drunk on moonshine.
Yeah.
And that's why that never happened. But now I lost my train of thought.
Clean headwaters.
Oh, so yeah, but so if you take your reports that you got, your map, it makes sense. I just want to say that to everybody. You just get rid of the word Bigfoot for the non-Bigfoot people. If, as a biological point of view, you can start seeing stuff with following creek patterns and fresh water and clean environments and forest coverage. It's in the green highway. For anybody that doesn't know what that is, I'm sure probably a lot of our longtime listeners know what the green highway is. But it's Eastern Ohio has what's called the green highway, or from Southern Ohio all the way up to Northern Ohio, where you can get into Pennsylvania, New York, and you can get back up around the Great Lakes. And besides highways, you can pretty much walk in tree cover the whole way up. And so yours, where you have this, is right at the top of the green highway.
Oh, and, that's fascinating.
And just talking about a biological point of view, we see it like you're like one of the guys that's seen a lot of bears on his property and stuff like that. It's because that's some of the last bit that have the hard mat. It's called hard mass forest cover. Hard mass is like acorns and that kind of stuff. It's a food source. Mm. So you don't see a lot of these large mammal populations without hard mass because it's a seasonal food source that they need to get by because it's a super dense like fat. Like, you know, we like eating like peanut butter. Like peanut butter is just fat and protein.
Mm, so good.
But like acorns have a lot of protein in them and stuff like that.
Acorn butter.
I've never had it, but so I just wanted to say that as a compliment and credibility to this is that if you got rid of the word Bigfoot, you could say this is elk. You could say this is bear. It makes sense for any large mammal to kind of be following the patterns and the sightings. And then the one in the highway, do you think that was that, now I don't want to mix him up, was that a daytime sighting or a night sighting?
That was specifically at 8 p.m. local time on Monday, March 9th.
So that'd have been dark.
The twilight area.
Yeah. Okay. So it could be. So I'll say this with organisms with like the lucem organ in their eyes, dusk and dawn are the hardest times for them to see.
That's the hardest time when I drive.
Well, yeah, because you're trying to run them down.
Well, no, I just mean I can't see.
Well, yeah, so animals that have night vision, they struggle with the dawn dusk time periods because it's their eyes are trying to do both. Mm-hmm. If you ever watched The Reign of Fire, the dragon movie, they talk about that. Where that's the only time they can attack the dragons.
Oh.
They got like a half hour window every day. That's the only time their fire breath is kind of like off.
Okay.
Ooh, make it count.
Yeah.
But no, it's just interesting to me that you start seeing a lot of this, because that one was a weird one to me until you just said the time where, well, that would make sense. Like the twilight and it's, you know, moving around. Cause that was one of the shorter ones, wasn't it?
Yeah, because it happened just as they're driving past it. Mm-hmm. So it was, let me double check. I did not get a duration time on it, but it, I mean, literally they're just driving by.
And oh, I meant height. I'm sorry.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Height would be
6 foot. I thought you said on that one.
6.5 foot tall.
So yeah. Okay.
Yep.
Perceivably a younger one, I guess.
Mm-hmm. I would say so, yes.
You know, stunted one, maybe.
There you go. Big eyes and stunted.
Yeah. Too much coffee as a kid.
But, I mean, I'm up for either way. I really want to hear your theories on it. I mean, I know we have our theories, but I really want to hear yours first.
So let me run through what I've heard, and I will then tell you what my favorite one is. I've heard a lot. I've heard everything from... Are they fleeing from something, or are they going towards something? Maybe this is a mating year and they're trying to get to a certain area. I think it was Ashley Hilt that was like, hey, you know, the mushrooms are starting to get into season, which is a cool theory. Because she's taken reports from this area for the last few years. Some people were like, well, you know, we just had those weird tornadoes. The weather is weird right now, so maybe that's related. A big one that's just kicked in the last few days is that meteor came down. And so when that happened, oh my goodness, my email went nuts. It was like, look, Bigfoot was getting out of the area and then this meteor comes down. And I was like, oh my goodness, I don't know.
But, oh my gosh.
So I'm going to tell you.
It's like the sharks in Florida.
Wild.
Yeah. How many people said it arrived, more of them arrived on the meteor or something too, I'm sure.
Catching a ride out.
One or two, but most of them were like, they're getting out of town. The one I like the most is from Glenn, who's the researcher, Glenn Adkins from the area. And his theory is that, his theory is that the time frame that these sightings happened, the weather in this area was really warm. And so you had tons of people out that most years should not have been out. And we all know that you need, part of having a Bigfoot sighting is having the people to see the Bigfoot.
Yep.
So I'm going with an unseasonal, very, very warm, hot weather, warm weather. And so more people out walking around. And that's why you're seeing these creatures that are moving around, and they're usually not seen by people at this time of year, because usually it's colder or there's more snow on the ground, something like that. So that's the one I'm kind of leaning towards myself.
I like that one a lot, because I know that kind of falls into at least one of the ones you've been talking about.
Just like what I said ahead of the show.
Yeah. Do you want to go?
Just that I just think it's normal, I guess, activity and normal behavior, and it's just people finally seeing it and are finally reporting it, and there's someone out there that can publish those reports that all people all around the world can see it in real time.
I think that's a great, and this is where the magic of the Bigfoot Mapping Project happens, and because you have a place where, let's say, someone can report a Bigfoot sighting, and then it's not going to get stuck, but it's going to be shared. And then combine that with the culture that we live in, which is a social media intense news cycle. And then you have account like mine where they take that information and put it out and the algorithm goes crazy. And it's just kind of like a perfect storm type situation.
And I think like the only danger, I think, or not danger, I don't want to say that. I think it's great that all that is able to happen. And I think things can get misconstrued or...
Oh, sure.
They let things... I think the truth is out there with everything. Everything. You can always find the truth out there if you're looking for it. But I also think so many theories, like the ones you just named off, people were telling you, like, oh, it's running from something, or it's you know, running from the meteor, or it's, you know, like the mating place. You know, it's just all these wild theories get tossed out there. And... it comes like with the government trying to conceal truths, you know, in the media and things like that. They'll allow those things and theories to just run wild, like wildfire out there. And they'll even put some of them out there themselves to let just people talk about that rather than just focusing on what the actual truth is. And
potentially, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think sometimes the truth does get out there in some of those quote unquote crazy theories. I think sometimes they are the truth. And you're just labeled as a crazy person if you actually believe that. But let's entertain all this other stuff that it's not. But if you land on the truth, you're the crazy person. It just feels like that's how it's shaped to me. And it's how they hide the truth and conceal the truth by labeling the truth as crazy and then letting anything else as, well, maybe we can entertain that, because it's not the truth.
What I hope happens through all this is you know, allegedly there's going to be a releasing of maybe some UFO and alien stuff from the government. Maybe they'll see this and they'll be like, You know what? Let's throw in the Bigfoot stuff.
Throw in the Bigfoot files.
Yeah.
Why not? Let's just throw it all in. And
they've killed too many of them.
Solid. So
they've killed too many of them. It's too much blood on their hands.
Or that, or we're actually leaning on the government to actually reveal anything truthful about anything when it comes to aliens or Bigfoot. I say if they put it out, oh well, there's the lie. What do you know where they're putting it out? Like, let's see what they put out and then look at the exact opposite thing, and then we might find the truth.
You're not very opinionated, are you?
No.
We're all on the list now. Well,
we've been on...
I should say a list, not the list.
We've been on a list for a while.
I'm on a list.
You're on the Epstein list?
Google my name.
I did.
You did. My last name came, but...
It did come up. Your last name did come up, but it was somebody else. Doctor
Research.
Just saying.
Bro.
One of the clones were on the island.
I Googled your first name, and you wouldn't believe how much came up.
You probably could Google my full name, and it may come up because that race car driver.
Oh, yeah.
There is that one famous guy that shares my name.
Yeah. Wait, didn't you use race cars?
Yeah. I fit in those little cars. I'd look like a bust a can of biscuits. No, I really, I liked the Momo kind of thought, personally, where... I have this, we've talked about theories and stuff like that. None of us know, but, you know, you've been around for a while. And as far as, like, some biological things, I always like to go that kind of route and kind of just use other animals and place those behaviors onto them. Because you see it's convergent evolution in animals for behaviors. And intelligent animals kind of do the same thing across the board. So, for example, orcas. Arguably one of the other most intelligent animals on the planet besides us and baleen whales and like bonobos and those kind of things. You know, so top five probably sentient animals on the planet. What
about tenrics?
Tenrics are not sentient.
Oh, okay, never mind.
They're living poisonous rocks that look like hedgehogs.
Oh, okay,
I'm surprised you even remember what a tenric is.
I know, I just picked a random animal. Well, you were doing it. Bonobos, baleen whales.
But I know those.
I don't know. Orcas. There we go.
Orcas. Orcas have an extreme matriarchal society. But there's actually like 32-ish subspecies of orca that we've now discovered. So migratory orcopods have a really unique thing they do where the matriarch, the mom, the grandma is normally who it is, stays back with the kids and teaches them a lot of stuff. She no longer hunts. She no longer goes out of her, you know. So the rest of the pod travels sometimes hundreds of miles away from grandma and the kids. And she is spending her time teaching them all, you know, stuff that she's learned over her long life. You know, orcas live in their 80s. And teaching those skills before they go out and start learning how to hunt. You know, whether that's communication, navigation, salinity test. Have you ever seen them stick out their tongue and they can tell where rivers are coming from inland where they may want to feed on salmon runs? So I kind of place that behavior like with Momo. You know, it seemed to have an older, you know, maybe elderly individual and a very young individual. And you don't really see a lot of other Sasquatch in that incident. You know, there's this old white one that's skinny, we're assuming, and this younger, like 6-foot bulky one. And it's still a kid though. You know, so yeah, it's going to learn from grandpa or grandma a little bit, but it's also going to run off and try. And we've talked about that in a lot of the Hocking Hills encounters that sometimes when you see, like when you have, and then Salt Fork too, there's a lot of these Salt Fork encounters where Salt Fork in Ohio, for everybody listening, which is a part of both of those areas are part of the Green Highway, where Salt Fork, for example, there's three different sightings I can think of when we had John on where you seen a Bigfoot on the trail ahead of you. And it's just standing there looking at you all funky or trying to walk away. And like, it almost like it's trying to lead you somewhere. And when you turn around, it's because there was a baby you walked by or a young one.
Yep.
And it's just trying to lure you away and that kind of stuff. So it really makes me think of this. That's one option. That this giant individual, you know, we're talking the one people are seeing that is 9 feet tall. And we've talked about animal weights it's It's not a normal, like a straight line scale. It's a high bar, like it's a high graph. Like the taller you are, you get heavier a lot faster. So a 9-foot bipedal organism would be immense.
And then 10-foot.
Way
more immense than 9.
Yeah, it's...
They exponentially grow.
Yes, yeah. Exponentially. Thank you. So I'm not saying the Bigfoot can't get 10 feet. I believe they do. I think those are rare probably on the East Coast being that big. But that would point, though, to an older individual. And you're only seeing in this flap, at least, from what I can tell, an older individual and a younger individual. That's 6 or 7 feet, and then this 9 or 10 footer. You know, this...
I agree.
A massive one and a little one. Is it mom and baby? Is it, you know, this bull male and a female? You know, there's some kind of, with the sightings being this close, there's some kind of relationship between these two animals. I would imagine, you know, that's speculation on my part, highly. So the grandpa taking care of the kid theory, the migration theory, like you said to Ashley, we are having an early mushroom spring. And the homeless community in the national parks, I've had a lot of experience with them. My buddy was named Skunk out of the Hocking Hills when they would go down to Tennessee in the winter. And that's what they would follow back up, is the mushrooms.
Okay.
So humans do that. Homeless humans in the national park system do that, where they follow
fascinating.
They follow the mushrooms back up because, you know, they're foraging. That's, mm-hmm. you know, an amazing food source. And I don't think Bigfoot's scared of the cold. They live in Alaska and everything like that. But I do think they are food migratory motivated. And mushrooms are an amazing food source. But I really like what you said and like what Glenn said, where it's just normal activity. They probably, this unit or this group probably does it every year.
Mm.
But March 9th is normally frozen hell in Northeast Ohio and Northwest Ohio.
Yeah.
Right.
And so there's two people normally out in the woods. So if you walk this path, and like migratory animals, depending on the species, like there's elevation migration and all this stuff. We've done episodes on the types of migration. But migratory animals, depending on what you're talking about, are extremely predictable. Like if you're talking like great white sharks, for example, some of our adult male great white sharks have 4-year cycles to the day. You can tell without trackers, because that's how they started tracking a couple man-eaters. So off the coast of California, when there's one specific shark, they know he's only here for 3 days every 4 years. So they, you know, ban people on the beach because he's there. They know he's going to be there. So migratory animals can be extremely date-specific. And March 9th, that's kind of the range we're really talking about, right?
6th and 10th. Yeah.
Real early March.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in our lifetime, when can you think of real early March having 75 degrees?
No, it's not often.
Like maybe once in 30 years?
Maybe.
Like this warm?
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Where we're having mushrooms pop up?
Yeah, 70 degrees.
In March?
Yeah. It was almost 80 degrees the other day.
So traditionally, mushroom season doesn't start till turkey season, gun season for turkeys here
mm-hmm.
in Ohio,
mm-hmm.
which is April. Just, I mean, it's just for anybody.
I think, too, you made a really important point, though, that Milton Lake has some of the cleanest headwaters.
That whole part. I mean, we're talking like Chagrin River.
And
still has. So here, I'll tell you this. There is a big cluster of clean water dependent endangered state endangered species in that area. So it's clean water. So Hocking, a problem is in. I did this, you know, worked with acid mine drainage. A lot of the eastern part of Ohio has acid mine drainage, where it looks like clean, crystal clear water, and it has a pH of 1.8, which will eat your boots, because it did it to me.
My goodness.
Mm-hmm. I got a little bit of water on it.
But it's clear.
It's crystal clear, and if you didn't know what you were doing, you stick your hand in that, it's just going to not come back.
Like that raccoon that dropped the cotton candy in the water?
Yeah, but your arm.
Yeah.
But so that area, though, there's sand darters, which are state endangered. So Chagrin, which is not too far, has the only surviving native brook trout population for Ohio, they need such clean, clear, oxygenated water. It's it. There's a myriad of other species. That's what I did.
Mm-hmm.
So I can.
But like, if you're an intelligent creature,
you
like
need
you,
clean water.
Yes, yeah, so you need clean water, and you're going to know where it's at, and you're going to go to those places where it's at that you know it's 100%. At. So I believe like what you said. I mean, it adds up. This is just a known path they're going to use, and because they know there's not much people, they know the water's clean, and it's just what the area they use. And now this time, people caught a few of them. They saw them in the act.
And then, like you said, that there's amazing places like with Jeremiah and the Bigfoot Mapping Project where you can turn these in.
Mm-hmm.
Like you can actually, like 30 years ago, there didn't exist.
No.
Like maybe one 30 years ago, but you couldn't do this.
No, now it's a thing.
So like, we've talked about the 60s and 70s. Everybody, from Kiel and stuff like that, you heard some stories and then Kiel had to go there.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's right. When the more stories came out is he took weeks. He just lived in a hotel down there. And then Mary, I always forget her last name, but they helped Kiel amazingly. Doesn't get enough
the
credit.
Librarian.
No, Mary, the she was a journalist from Athens, Ohio.
Okay.
And she drove down and did a lot of work with John.
Okay. Gotcha.
Oh really?
Yeah. I forget her name. I'm sorry, Mary, but she did amazing work too. And so there were boots on the ground people in the 60s and 70s. The only way some of these got out.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm sure there was Bigfoot flaps, you know, in the 80s that happened out in Oklahoma or happened in Nebraska or happened in South Dakota.
Mm-hmm.
And there just wasn't, they didn't get out fast enough or there wasn't a person there close enough to turn around. And like you were saying, you know, with the power, the good, bad, and indifferent with social media and stuff like that.
Right.
Everybody could see this now and mm-hmm. be like, well, I just seen one there too. And here's what I seen.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. I talked a lot there. Oh, I had a lot of thoughts.
Well, I just think if anyone out there has seen a Bigfoot or has a...
Turn it into Jeremiah.
Yes. Go to BigfootSocietyPodcast.com and write Jeremiah an email. Tell him your experience. Yeah,
absolutely. BigfootSociety@gmail.com.
Send him a Bigfoot.
Send him a Bigfoot head.
Gosh.
Oh, easy.
That got grizzly and scary fast.
Yeah! Wow.
Hey, you get a call from the post or from the post office for your PO box.
Hey, you got another one. You got another one down here.
You got a box. It's leaking.
It's stinky,
and it doesn't. It's like that.
Yeah,
big
please don't do that.
In Georgia, that was a pig stuffed into the Bigfoot costume.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, disgusting.
Remember that? Sold for $1 million.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah.
Georgian hillbillies figured it out.
Yeah, we ain't doing
that. It's got guts.
No, we'll just stick with the reports.
Yeah, please.
Jay, do you have anything?
No, I mean, this has been a great, I really enjoyed talking with you and you sharing the whole breakdown of how it went down. And it's been not refreshing, but what's the right word? It's just
enlightening.
Enlightening about it all. It's nice just seeing the other side of the experience. Because you see this stuff on social media, not particularly like in your case, what happened. But you just see the Bigfoot stuff and Bigfoot stories all the time. And it's just nice to... I talked to the guy on the other side of it, reporting it all straight from the horse's mouth. I enjoy that.
There you go. There you go. And always fun to talk to you guys. If your listeners want to check it out, I just did an interview actually with Glenn on Bigfoot Society. So if you want to hear Glenn's side of it, there's some interesting details on that. You can check that out over at Bigfoot Society. Just check out, look for Glenn Adkins.
For everybody at home, down below, there'll be a link to the podcast, a link to the website, and then we'll link for Glenn's episode.
Thank you.
So that'll be in that. I'll try to do it in that order just below this. So please, everybody, check out Jeremiah. Support him if you can. A 5-star review or sharing something is the easiest and freest way to support a creator. Mm-hmm. But if you can't, buy a t-shirt, join Patreon. You know, Jeremiah is a good guy, and he deserves financial compensation. What? All right, you ready
appreciate
for the song?
That, you guys. Thank you.
You ready You're for welcome. The song? We'll end on the song.
Whoa.
Jeremiah was a bullfrog. He was a good friend of mine.
You guys are going to get demonetized on YouTube.
He's just sharing Bigfoot stories.
Joy to the world. Oh, the boys and girls now. Joy to the fishies in the deep blue sea. Joy to you and me. All right, Jeremiah.
All right.
Let's yell bye, and we'll cut it from here. 3, 2, 1. Bye.
If you're a podcast host, listen up. This one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up. This one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.